This meeting is now being recorded.
Remain in your own faith, but you have taken the first step, elementary, which is meant for the preparation of the ground. Now you have to take the other step, which is rattled through in your scriptures, but you have forgotten. That is no new faith, no new religion, nor I am going to advocate any religion whatsoever. There are already so many faiths in mistakes. You follow me? For this gathering here, it is a pure spiritual gathering, common ground for all to sit together, irrespective of whether they belong to one religion or the other. As a man you are one, as a soul you are one, and also the worshipper whom we worship, God is also the same. There is no reason here. No ritual, no rites, no special form of prayers.
This very question was answered by a man I asked about him. He said, what is the relation between the Sikh religion and the Radhaswami faith? And he says, it is the same with the addition of the Master. That's the way he answered this question.
No.
Well, I'm glad to hear this.
Yes, this is the fact, you see. Sikhism also teaches the same thing, I think. If all the scriptures of the world be taken together and take out the purely spiritual part of those scriptures, I think they won't form even the 1/20th part of the scriptures, the voluminous areas. But they all refer to the light and sound principle and the need of a guru or a master. Even the Sikh, the scripture also denying that. He said, nobody can see God except through the Master. No, they not only say that, but they say nobody has ever been, nor is, nor ever will be able to know God without the Master. So Sikhism does provide for Master, and very emphatically. But the general piety, you know why? When Masters leave, there are formations. So long as the practice of Masters are there, they go on all right. For want of practice of Masters, so formation becomes stagnation. The stagnation results in deterioration, and there are fights between religion and religion. So this is what is true. This is the truth. And we forget, and Masters come to revive that truth again and again. Don't you see, when Christ entered the synagogue, what he said, you have made this house of my father a business home. Isn't that? And he goes about. The teaching of the same, glad and human, for want of practice, people will dwindle down into error. And the Master, sometimes I do tell, we are proud of our masters to whom we belong. The question arises whether the masters to whom we belong, they are proud of us. They can be proud of us only if we live up to what they said. They said, you must be reborn. Another master said the same thing. But we don't know what is the meaning of being reborn. The guy said, don't be, marvel not if I say you must be reborn. No, people have forgotten, they simply interpret it just to have certain form and rites and rituals and believe in Sambhasana, that you to believe all, but that is not so. So I was saying, you see, if you go without any prejudice, you see, you find the same person. We, in our own zealousness, consider perhaps we have got the only truth, nobody else. That truth is there. You see, Master came to give us the truth. Of course, they gave out whatever was necessary at the time. But they all refer to that. You must believe all. So to me, my parents are your religions. As a child and as a defeat of my master, I have come to that very 100% truth. I met religious religious sects of various religions. They all give in there. They cannot deny it. The fact remains fact, you see. Truth is truth. So I have regard for all masters, you see. Then always this question was put to my master. Why don't you raise a new religion? He said what he said. He said, there are already existing so many wells. What is the use of giving up a new well? Why not take out the water from the very wells that are already existing? Don't you dare get it? You first must have read that book, World Undone. What is it there? That reflection from all religions. Quotation. Then what more is what? The question is that we have forgotten. We worship the same God, we call Him by one name or the other, that makes no difference. All the same, we are concerned with that reality which is spoken of by so many names. If you say water, or aqua in Latin, or in so many other names in other languages, all the same, we are concerned with the liquid, which is called by these words. Unless we have the liquid, there is no use. That is simply repeating one name or the other. That is only directs our attention towards that thing which is liquid, and by drinking which your thirst is quenched. This is the truth, you see. Who can deny? Tell me. Where all men are born the same way. Is there any man who denies that? Some people in their zealousness say once it so happened in the time of Kabir the Great. Kabir was a great saint. Brahmins, the ministerial people, I would say now, they claim we are born in special creatures from God. We are superior to all men. And he simply put a very blunt question. If you were superior, why were you not born some other way? So all men are alike, you see. How to conceive, you got 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 hands, 2 feet. Born the same way. And out of all other things are the same. And it is you who make differences. It is you who make divisions. When masters come, they look from a universal point of view. They consider all humanity as their family. Four children of 10th guru were killed. And then the wife came up and asked, where are my children? He said, when now when 4 have died so many other lives. So this is the angle of vision of the master, you see. They look from the angle of the man body or the soul, embodied soul. As a man, we are all one. Of course, I'm carrying this bag, you're carrying those bags. All the same, we are meant first. The same difficulty is with us. Our souls are under the control of mind. Mind is under the control of the outer faculties. We are given up to outward enjoyments, all of us. If we are to find God, the dead body is the temple of God. You are in the body, and that very, there is some power which is keeping you in the body. Otherwise, we should run away out of this man's body. But we cannot. unless we just withdraw from outside, our attention is withdrawn from outside, we can have no awareness of our own. Unless we know ourselves, we cannot know about the power that is controlling us in the world. It's all the same, very different. God is light, all masters say so. God is light. Of course, they use their own words. Some say it is Jyoti, some say it is Noor. Some say the tough clothes in light. Where did it be? Even when the Lord came, what he said? He advises his followers to keep fire burning all around in their homes. And say, what sort of fire should be unstuck fire? They are so slogan. My point is, you see, I am not giving you something new. Some new religion, new concepts. That's the old truth, which has all along been the same. We have been forgetting. Masters have been coming to revive that. Again, the time has arrived. We have got so many religions. Why so many religions when the truth is one? The difference due to the fact, though they have realized the truth, they know this. Though they have not realized that, parties and separate sects, subsects and so on. And then increasing. And that is apparently due to the fact that we have not realized, seen the truth. That's it. So when masters come, they don't start any new religion. They say already there are so many social bodies of the religions. Remain in whatever you are, just was first step you have taken, take the, now the other step, which is given in our own picture, but you have forgotten. What did they do now? I went to the king of army, Templars, army of Templars, you see. He invited me, I went out there, they were going to make Templars. Then they don't allow anybody else, but they invited me in general. I went there, what did they do? Now they were made tempters, they made to stand candle was lit outside and put it in front of him. Then, all right, you were given that whatever they gave you customary, then the other man put sword over his hair, there. Now what does it show? We must crucify ourselves to reach that light. But they have forgotten inside. They don't know how to crucify. They can take cross, then what is cross? Have you ever considered cross in that? Isn't that cross? Let's take cross where it's available body consciousness. That's the light with it. That is becoming a true Templar. In any religion you find the same thing. In all places of worship, you have the same symbols, light and sound. So unless we rise above, take cross daily, we cannot have that light, you see. We cannot say the voice of God. So I assure you, I am giving you no new case, my life, don't be misled. It remains in your own religion, but try to understand more. Which is that our ministers are also not. You know of full things.
Not aware of
that. That's the pity. I had a long talk with the Vatican at Rome for 2 or 3 hours. The bishop in charge of the non-Christian religions, he was. When he talked over the whole thing, he said, you say right. It's all right. Now you see it is right, the true teaching of Christ. Then why don't you change the whole thing? Why? What is an instance of John, Pope John, he charges something, he never consulted his committee. Order do that. John could order, why God now? He said, if we don't do it, half the bishops will revolt. That will bring them round in time. The truth is truth, you see, any awakened man does realize that. That's another thing one man thinks in the zealousness of his own system. That we have got only the truth. Mormons say they are the only born that way. And we should perhaps say nobody else has come at all in the world to. Well, truth is truth. I went the other day in Guru Chichak with him, and I asked him, what are your teachings? He gave me a pamphlet, and I read it. It is there, Christ lived before Jesus. There's one of them. Christ lived before Jesus. And what is Christ? One man came, I came here last time in 1955. The question was put to me, when is Christ returning? I told them, has he ever left you? You know, the poet is like that. They're saying that, you see. Christ said, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee till the end of the world. If he has not left us, what's the question of returning? So I read that passage the other day, and what did it mean? They say Christ lived before Jesus. So Christ is the God power or the Guru power, you see, which continues for the guidance of time, humanity, from time to time. Even before Christ, even before Buddha, or the Guru Nanak, or anybody. We are all his children. How can he disregard his children? Those who were born before Christ and Guru Nanak and anybody, what about their fate? And what about after? Let us take for granted those who believe in those they'll be saved. Take it for a moment. But what about those who came before? Will they all go, be doomed? On the common sense point of view. So unity can't say, thank God that purpose is yet the fact that human fact, any awakened man realizes that. So my point is, you see, we are all children of God. We are all men first. Then embodied souls. Soul is of the same essence as that of God. And the same controlling power keeps us in the body. Man's body is a golden opportunity we have got in which we can realize God. But to realize God, we must know ourselves first. Because it is the soul, conscious entity, like alone can know the like. You cannot be known by the outward faculties, or intellect, or vitalness. These are the facts. So that God power, you see, continues. Sanction continues. So these are only for a lot of practical people, you see. We just jealously stick to one thing or the other. The result is religious war. In the thousands of people killed. And I'm giving you a broader view. Does not the Bible say that God does not reside in temples made by the hand of man? What should we say now? We have respect for the holy places of worship. Because the people sit together in fifth members of God. When more than one man sits, Christ's hand there. So who is Christ? Christ is God's power. Call it Christ power or Guru Nanak power or Kabir power, that's a God power which manifested as human poles, like the candy in it. So we have the God for all these things. So no new faith, mind that. No label so far. If I, so long as I may, I won't permit if the people have to meet me, that is their own faith. But remember, this is no new faith. It is only a common ground. God has future getting. When men of all religions sit together. Here in, sometimes in hundreds, in Indian thousands, of all faiths, of all religions, they are given out only ethical life, purity of life, and contact with God, that's all. You may say prayer this way or that way, or perform this ritual this way or that way, of course they are meant to develop love and devotion. That's the first step. That's all right. And the second is just to understand the two important scriptures that we have got. Understand them. But to understand them, we need somebody who's got those experiences, who's been on the way. So that is why all are dear to me. Hindu call me, I go, they'll give me some just say, are your scriptures in that? I go to the Sikh temple, there is Ben Kohadas.
Yes.
Here are your scriptures. Here I mean to say they consider them to be a new, part of some new religion. When I say all are religions, social bodies are different, of course, out of same thing is the same. I go to the churches, to the all different kinds of churches. I met the Orthodox Christians too.
Yeah.
I met the Coptics too, Byzantine too, Protestants too, and Roman Catholics too. I met the Jews. All the basic principle is the same. I gave a talk in the Jewish temple, you remember
Chicago.
How they appreciate it. Give me a call back.
Chicago.
When Moses heard these commandments of light and storm, thunder, they remembered it. We think it is that we have forgotten it. That's all. For want of light is the people, we pretend that we know better. That's what it is. If you have any school, the purpose is to become a degree in the education. You must be educated. And when you come out of any school or college, you have your degree. Do you write with the degree? I am MA of Christian college, or a Hindu college. You don't write that. English is degree of spirituality. Therefore, to already know scriptures, we have forgotten. We need somebody who knows the way. That's all. He knows the way, he can give us that experience. Past masters are also needed. Had they not come, the scriptures would not have been with us. Now they go to testify what we say. Even the, I tell you, the past scriptures be not with us. A master who has known the way is not dependent on the scriptures. He knows the way, can give the way. If he goes to some other references to give satisfaction to the people, really this is our teaching. That's all right. It's a practical thing. Thank you, there's no new case, my dear.
What effect does suicide have on the soul's development, Maharaji?
Well, blind leads to blind and both fall into the ditch. They're expecting heaven after death. If while the live man is not in heaven, how can he be after death, you see? A man who is learned while alive, he's after death, he will remain learned. If I go out this room, then I'll be same as I'm here. I cannot change. If I meditate, I must my going out, I remain the same. So similarly, you see, what we are when we leave the body, what we are. We cannot change by leaving the body, become angels. Those who are just given up to the outward enjoyments, given up like anything, they are the earthbound souls. Those who are better, they have got this little higher, and that is what is proved nowadays by the spiritualism. They contact with the souls. And those who just become divided, spiritual pure, they go to the lap of the Father, you see.
Is there a particular karmic punishment because of the act of suicide, or is it the doubling of the problem that causes the suicide?
By suicide, what you mean? He meant something else.
No, taking the life, taking your life.
Yes, you see. Our life is most valuable than our body. Our body is more valuable than the outward things. If we come in a way that we even, I mean, hate our life, we're going to kill us, it is a very strong action. See? That emotion will come, and philosophical society says, a man who suicides, he suicides at least 100 buses even after. Every time that reaction will come, you kill him. Some people, you see, suicide for no reason.
Because the earth is killing us there.
That's a heinous crime, you see. To kill oneself. How can you have these people to kill their own life? It's a very strong reaction. If there is some controlling power, some higher power, or God power, or Christ power, you might say. If there is that mighty, that reaction may be suffered down, that's another thing. So there's no other. This is theosophical literature,
yes, theosophical literature tells us.
The urge is in 100 lifetimes to commit suicide.
That is subconscious. You see, we like, even we never like to sacrifice our life. Our great difficulty is we won't like to die. You see? We would like to sacrifice everything, all the possession, even money can't have by it. Nobody wants to die. But the man who wants to die means very strong action. That must be it. Yes,
please. You just said that God is love, and love will take one to the heart center, that's in the heart, to the heart center, and yet the science of the soul begins at the sixth ganglion, and there's still a center in between. How will that be reconciled?
I tell you, these are the words sometimes mislead us. Soul is love personified. God is love. And soul is also love, become the same sense of God. The heart of the physical body lies here. The heart of the sense lies here. That heart, when they say, it is a question of heart and not head. They make a difference there. Head means intellect. Not head is intellect. And the heart means in our own self. That is really in our own soul love. Love not any particular part of the body. This is machinery. That might react to there. That's only some little loss of flesh. Heart, what is it? That is left behind. When that is left behind, then that should emit love. Does it? When man is dead, soul leaves the body, is there any love in the heart left? I don't know. So love is in our soul, you see. And the seat of the soul is back behind. From there it delivers the whole body.
After the
heart center
would be in the ganglion.
Yes, yes.
And then there's another in between the...
Yes, yes, they're the same. There are six ganglions in the body, but master don't touch them. They just give you a lift, come up here, all at once. They start from there. How great possession it is. Yes, please.
Wrong practices, wrong yoga practices leading the forces downward on the spine and through the area of the Kundalini. Could you expand on that a little bit?
I tell you, there are ways and ways. There are man-made ways and there are God-made ways. Times have changed. There are so many systems of yoga. These yoga systems were introduced in the old ages. There are four ages. Golden Age, Silver Age, Copper Age, and the Iron Age. In the Golden Age, they say, these were introduced in the, when they were Golden Age, they were. Then the people lived up to 1 million years. It is said so in the scriptures, in the scriptures. And there are instances to show what that there is one single key. He put in 88,000 in the yoga practice. 88,000. And excuse me, I need that right out, but I have given the scriptures. He was led away by some and gave and a son. Even after doing 88,000 years of practice that way, he could not control that. See? So we fall everywhere, but only by the way. And then in the second age, it will cut down to 10,000. Even then, we could have put some thousand years, 2,000, 3,000. In the copper age, the age will cut down to 1,000. Even then, we could have put it to 300 years, that way. Nowadays, nobody knows we are 67 years average. How can we those systems introduce in the old ages? We can do today. We are heretic of it. Though the longer ways, time-consuming, hazardous, the masters introduce, cut down, the prana system altogether to befit the times. And this is the national yoga that you are giving. It is only to be stable physically, intellectually, little different you, you know yourself. You have the famous and that of God. This is confession according to the times. Masters introduced. We do that with all those. There are ways. But there are difficult ways. We are not fit.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was entitled No New Faith, Mind That, and was recorded on December 18, 1963. Our reader this morning is Christine Clevenger. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, David. This morning I will continue the reading called Within This Mortal Form, originally published in the September 1974 issue of Sat Sandesh. Connection with the true beloved is a permanent matrimony, so treasure the Guru's word. Once one is connected to the Lord, one will never die. There is no sorrow. How does one find the husband who will never die? Who are the fortunate ones who get the connection? Travel ye the four corners, but the perpetual marriage with him is not attained without the Satguru. We were given this mortal form for the special purpose of that spiritual marriage, and you can consider it a great misfortune if it does not occur in your lifetime. In the human body, it is thy turn to meet God. All other work is useless. So keep the company of the Master and meditate only upon the Nam. No matter what you attain in the world, it is of no avail toward this work. Is there any helping factor? The Masters say, keep the company of the Satguru. He is the manifested Lord and can withdraw your scattered attention, concentrate it, and rejoin it to the greater attention. Join me back to God, anyone. This is done through the Master's word, the word that only the Master can give. God is wordless, but when he expressed himself, his power came forth, and that is called word, also nam, shabd, etc. The Master is the word made flesh. He manifests in the Guru and distributes the shabd. He connects the people to the God in expression power, which has the two phases of light and sound. The very power which is imitated in places of worship through the various symbols. By practice of this word, the soul gains the everlasting marriage. The physical form is very beautiful, but not from the application of toilet requisites. If the body is not washed with soap for 3 or 4 days and dressed with perfume, etc., it starts smelling. And where does this smell come from? It comes from the person's thoughts. The Masters do not use perfume, but a fragrance issues forth from their person. Such golden opportunity is at hand because we have the man body. But what are we doing with that opportunity? Brothers, even the gods and goddesses are anxious to be born into the mortal form. It is no ordinary thing. When the human form was made, God put his own breath of life into it, his very own essence. Then he ordered the angels to bow before it. It is exalted enough, therefore, to be fully respected. Devotion to the Lord brings a radiance which burns out all ego. This is what devotion or bhakti to God can do. However, there are two types of devotion. One is at the level of mind and senses, and the other is received from the Guru. The latter is called Guru Mukh Bhakti. With Guru Mukh Bhakti, the sound springs forth without effort. Such as when the Guru gives devotion, you will start hearing the sound. The sound comes from above, and that is my Guru Dev. True devotion is done through the Guru, but what tells you that you have been given that devotion? What criterion is there to judge by? All creation do Guru Mukh Bhakti. When love develops, the light manifests within. Furthermore, through true devotion, the ego vanishes because one sees that the Lord is the doer. Bhakti done through the mind and senses involves good actions which deserve reward, but births and deaths continue due to one's doership being present. The shabd burns out ego and attachment, and the Guru Mukh gets the everlasting light. The one who becomes a Guru Mukh finds that all ego and attachment disappear. All praise to the perfect master's word. From him, one gets the true union. By getting connected to a perfect master, one will eventually merge with the ultimate Lord. There are words. There are the master's words. And there is the word of the master. You have to understand the difference between all three. We are reading the master's words, the words which have been spoken by a master and which have become scripture. Those words tell us of another word, the word which actually becomes apparent by the grace of God through the Guru. One meets the master, and the hidden word is made manifest. If you get connected to that word, it will take you to the wordless state. This is the only way back to God, and the Guru's word is in all. That word is innate in all men, not the Master's words which were uttered by Masters, perhaps 500 or 2,000 years ago. That word of the Master has been vibrating through all four yugas or ages. The word vibrates in the four yugas, making the truth ever audible. Also, the Guru's word can be heard in Chakunti. Even as far as Chakunti, one can hear the music of the spheres. I have just told you that the light within and the continuous sound rejoin you to the True One. You can also call it Kalami Kadim, or Voice of God, or Nod, or Anhad Shabd, or Music of the Spheres, or Light and Sound Principle. Whatever you call it does not alter the fact that it is the one way back to Absolute God. The sound that vibrates is the Guru, and the Guru is the sound. All these different words refer to the same thing, the hidden sound. The hidden Nam is made manifest. Also, word is the Guru, Guru is the word, and in that word is the nectar of immortality. It has the power to give everlasting life. When the disciple desires, the Guru will appear, and when he appears, the word is given. Word which has been vibrating since the world began, and which will stop only at the end of the world. It can also be called Gita, for Gita means song. I once went to a place where the people requested that I give a discourse on the Gita, and so I told them that when the world began, this song began, and that will finish only when the world finishes. It is a song which is taught only by those have an inner knowledge. In this mortal form, everything exists. Khand, mandal, patala, the astral, the physical, and the lower physical worlds. The life-giver who sustains the whole world resides in this form of the human body, which is really a very wonderful abode. The whole macrocosm lies in the microcosm of the physical form. Even God himself is there. Go within, and you will meet him, and you will come to realize how great Khand and Brahmand are. And the key to all this is with the Guru, who can give you an experience of that which is written in the scriptures. The Guru Mukh treasures the Nam, which makes this mortal form ever beautiful. Whoever becomes a Guru Mukh has a true regard for the value of Nam, and by being in constant tune with it, has a perpetual supply of its food for the soul. This benefit reflects in the body also, which becomes tranquil and serene. That food of Nam is the very bread and water of life. The Lord is ever-existent, all wisdom, perfect bliss. And when the soul realizes this, it also expresses its nature of all wisdom and joy. All the various kinds of unhappiness disappear by themselves, and even outer aspects of personality and character change for the Guru Mukh. A Guru Mukh is he who comes to the Guru's feet, accepts his teaching, and practices it. He lives up to that teaching to such an extent that he becomes the mouthpiece of the Guru. Father and son are drenched in the same color. He is an air-conditioned being, affected by neither unhappiness nor happiness. The man who is unaffected by outer misery or happiness, gold and clay are alike to him. This is the criterion of a Guru Mukh, who never suffers from the ups and downs of life, but is always in perfect equipoise. Birth and death, riches and poverty have no significance for him. So many things happen around him, but he remains singularly aloof and unaffected by them. He is the very embodiment of bliss. His life reflects that bliss. In this mortal form, God resides, but that invisible Lord cannot be seen. So if you want to realize him, he knows the highest, who is himself at that height. Rise above the senses and you will see where the Lord resides. Ignorant Manmukh unravels it not, but searches only outwardly. Those who have not been connected to Nam, even if they have met a guru, have no awe for the true master's greatness and always talk through their mind. They are called Manmukh. Manmukh also has God in him and has all the potential of the Guru Mukh, but yet he remains a Manmukh. A Persian saint relates that God once said, "I am so big that all the highest peaks and lowest valleys cannot contain me." The entire earth, sky, and sea are not fit to receive me, so I am so great, but strangely enough, in the heart of a devotee do I dwell. And if you would like to realize me, then go to him. So it is that with the Guru's blessing, you see that God's temple is within you. But the Manmukh will merely protest that the bag of filth we call a body cannot possibly be God's temple. Brothers, even in the finest palaces you will find toilets and garbage receptacles. This mortal form is God's temple and not a bag of filth. And furthermore, you have only got this form through God's grace. He resides within, and so do we, and the tragedy is that we do not talk to him. It is a golden opportunity, and the Guru has the key to it. If you do not meet the Master and use that opportunity, then the hidden wealth remains hidden. By serving the Satguru, one achieves perpetual happiness. The Satguru reveals the invisible. True service to the Satguru gains his grace, and nothing can attack the devotee who is saved from the onslaught of the body, mind, and senses. The Satguru opens the eye through which the Lord can be seen. Adrasht, invisible. Agochar, incomprehensible. Alok, inconceivable. Apara, infinite. Thus does the Guru Mukh see with his eye. The Lord is not seen with the eyes of the flesh, but rather with the Shiv Netra, the third eye, the single eye, that inner eye which each human being possesses, can be opened on the first day of inner practice by a true master. Within this mortal form is a treasure of jewels. It is a treasure house of pure devotion. The invaluable treasure of divinity lies within the mortal being. It is a treasure house of devotion. Go within and see for yourself that all glory and beauty lie within. We choose to remain fascinated by outer attractions, but the key of this human house has been given to the Guru by the one who made it, and none can enter the house without the Lord's sanction. Neither can any gain possession of that key. The realized person gives the way up. Yogis have spent lives, hundreds of years long, just to learn how to rise above the physical form, and the true seeker can get that gift on the first day. A little experience on the very first day, what a wonderful concession. In this mortal form are the nine worlds with towns, markets, shops. And in this form, you get the nine supernatural powers through the Guru shop and thought. When the devotee starts practicing the shop, he will be able to see the inner worlds, astral, causal, etc. The Lord himself will manifest within. When he manifests, then the true union or marriage takes place. Great is man. Great is the mortal form. But man remains in ignorance unless the secrets are opened up by the Master. Within this mortal form, the scales are weighing the goods. The Lord himself is the weigher. Mind is a precious jewel there of great value. The Lord can evaluate everything in us. He sees each and every thought or action. A great power lies within also, and we call that the mind. Something like fire, mind is a good servant, but a bad master. And when fire is under control, everything is all right, but if the fire gains control, then mind, therefore, can be great. O mind, you are the form of light. Recognize yourself. Mind is of the essence of the negative power, but the negative power is also of the God power. The Masters advise us to befriend the mind and to make the best use of it. Swamiji Maharaj says that if one befriends his mind, it will do all one's work. Mind is not necessarily the bad medium that some people think. It has invaluable use. However, one must take into consideration that its nature is of habit. If one does the same thing twice, 6, 20 times, mind gets the habit of doing that and continues helplessly. So we should take advantage of its habitual nature by making a daily habit of devotion to the Lord, by enjoying the daily company of the Master. Having developed that habit, you will find that by missing even a single day of that practice, you will feel there is something wrong, a vacant feeling that something is missing. There is no price on Nam. It is given by the Guru. It is a gift of nature given freely to all, just as other gifts of nature, like air, water, sun, etc. All these priceless things are given free. If a certain value could be placed on them, they would no longer be free, and only the rich would buy them. The true benefit of Nam comes only to the Guru Mukh, and the Guru Mukh must first become a Guru Sikh, or disciple of the Guru. The Guru comes to the world to give away this gift freely to whomsoever seeks it. But the tragedy is that there is no one to take it. The whole night long, while this great blessing is being distributed, all eyes are so sleep-laden that no human being is aware how or to whom that gift is given. If you would be a Guru Mukh, search within this mortal form. All others will remain in forgetfulness. When this is God's temple, why remain in forgetfulness, especially when the means are available? When God manifests in any form, then the union occurs. This union, I have to repeat, is dependent upon travel the four corners, but that perpetual marriage with God is not attained without the Satguru. When the Satguru gives a little capital of that inner knowledge with which to start, it is then increasable daily. The Masters give us hope. They say there is hope for everyone. Guru Amar Das said, from low we became pure by coming to the Satguru's feet. You can also do that. Every saint has his past and every sinner a future. No matter what may be your faith or belief, search out the hidden truth from within your own mortal form. If, for example, a thief knows there is a great deal of treasure hidden under the floor of a certain abandoned house, do you think that when night comes, he will be able to refrain from entering that house, when all is quiet, to dig the treasure out? He will not rest or sleep until he has dug every bit of it up. All the scriptures then tell us that the spiritual treasure lies deep within us. Have you ever even thought about digging it out? No, because you have no time for that. Search within this form. This advice especially applies to those who would become Guru Mukhs, for this is the essence of the Guru's teaching. To whomsoever he gives, receives that gift. What will cunningness avail the others? It is the Lord's blessing entirely. He gives according to his will and pleasure. This gift cannot be got by being clever, cunning, etc. Nam is received through his merciful grace alone. And upon whom does he shower his mercy? Upon the heart which yearns for him. Oxygen helps the fire in its action, and similarly Nam is available according to the demand. There is bread for the hungry and water for the thirsty. The Lord, existing in each being, sees which child is really yearning for him, and his mercy, would not allow that child to remain unhappy for long. He makes the arrangement for the meeting with the Master. It is God Himself who does all this. Otherwise, how can one whose eye is not open seek for himself? However, there should be no trickery in the seeker's heart, no cunning words to try and hide the facts. If up to now you have found nothing, openly admit it. Do selfless service and be humble. Within that mortal form, fear and awe develop with the Guru's blessing. When the seeker has met the Guru and has received the inner contact, the Guru takes his place within and is ever present there. He never leaves the child. From then on, through this relationship, the love and faith of a disciple pulls him toward his master. But he goes with both awe and fear, out of respect and out of apprehension that he may have displeased the Master in some way. This is a condition which develops only with the Master's grace. When the disciple sees and therefore knows that the Master is within him, watching his every word and action, he will be too afraid of displeasing his Guru and will shun all erring actions. This type of condition in the disciple leads to oneness with the Guru. In this mortal form are Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, through whom the world is maintained. These three powers control creation, preservation, and destruction respectively. The combined strength of the three maintains the whole of creation, and all three powers dwell in the human form. Brahma governs the sensual nerve center which controls birth. Vishnu governs the navel nerve center controlling preservation. Lord Shiva governs the storehouse of the vital force at the heart center. You may excuse me, but the fact is that when the soul leaves the body at the time of death, the Brahma center is finished first. Secondly, the Vishnu center, and lastly, the Shiva center. But the man is yet alive. He has left three centers only. Do you understand this? The Lord Himself is the greater control, and these three powers have been made by Him and are a part of His great design. One sees and yet does not see. Great is this design. It is really astounding to some people when they learn that these three powers work in the body and serve it, and yet they themselves are greater. And this is proven by the fact that the soul is still there after those powers have finished. All the different powers and their working and the functions of the various gods and goddesses can be fully understood only when the soul goes within and sees the design of creation at the source. The True One created this play of transmigration. The whole of creation is the play of the Lord, and the whole and the world questions why. This question was put to Hazur, whose reply was this: first, reach the One who has made all creation, and then ask Him. All masters usually point out it is His will. One master explains, the magician put on a show, and the whole world came to see it. People ask, why did he do it? Why do people have children? That is His will also. After the birth, the child is governed by laws already in existence, and the Lord Himself accompanies the child into the body and into the world. He has never left a child alone. He is ever existent, and He is the controlling power in the mortal form. He is our life sustainer, sustaining this great concession of the human life and has given all gods and goddesses to serve it. All others in creation are to serve, but your birth is the highest. You are like a lord among all creation, and everything has been designed for the service of man. If man were developed, he would see he is micro-god and no small thing. But we must remember that the law of cause and effect was also designed into creation. So as ye sow, so shall ye reap. The perfect master himself revealed and freed us with the true Nam. All inner knowledge is revealed by the master, who also gives us the connection with the Lord, without which there is no true freedom. O Nanak, he realizes the true exaltation on whom God showers his mercy. The full benefit of this human birth, this mortal form, is derived by following the teachings of the Master. All scriptures are within you. Search them out. The realized soul is the means of that search. And always remember, everything is in this house. Nothing is outside. Those who seek without go deeper into forgetfulness. And that ends this reading from our Master Kripal Singh called Within This Mortal Form, published in the 1974 issue of Satsang Desh. Thank you, Master.
And thank you, Christine, for reading for us. We had 73 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.